October 29, 2012 began with ominous warnings for the East Coast. At 8 a.m., the National Hurricane Center reported tropical storm force winds along the coasts of southern New Jersey, Delaware, and eastern Virginia. No one knew the exact track Sandy would take, but they understood it wouldn't be good. Entergy Vermont Yankee spokesman Rob Williams told WAMC how the Vermont Yankee nuclear power plant was shoring up for the storm.
We've taken several actions in preparation for this storm, as we would any major storm. For one thing, testing our emergency diesel generators, which provide backup power should we lose our normal source of electricity. Also, topping off fuel tanks for the diesel generators on site.
In Massachusetts, Secretary of Energy and Environmental Affairs Rick Sullivan said the Commonwealth was bracing for the worst.
Every city and town has been assigned a community liaison from the utility, and we expect that if they have not already, that by the close of business today, all of the utilities will in fact have made contact with that community liaison.
Preparations were also underway up and down the Hudson Valley, still smarting from Hurricane Irene and Tropical Storm Lee. Ulster County Executive Mike Hine appeared on WAMC's roundtable.
We understand after Hurricane Irene that the response we made was fantastic at that point, but you can do even better. So there are lessons learned across the entire state and across the entire nation.
As the day progressed, all eyes and ears were on the approaching hurricane. Gusts of about 70 miles an hour had already been recorded in southern New Jersey when, at 7:42 p.m., Consolidated Edison shut down power to a large part of Lower Manhattan as a precaution, in hopes that the electricity could be restored more quickly once the storm passed. 8:43 p.m., Sandy made landfall along the New Jersey coastline, and more than 1 million lost power across the Northeast. The storm surge flooded New York City streets, tunnels, and subway lines. NYU Hospital lost power, and its backup generator failed. Dozens of homes were destroyed in a massive fire in the Breezy Point section of the Rockaways. University at Albany's Chris Thorncroft, chair of the Department of Atmospheric and Environmental Sciences, spoke the day after Sandy hit.
We had, you know, tropical storm, hurricane winds at landfall, storm surge, snowfall in the Appalachians. So clearly a lot of problems in the eastern seaboard.
Superstorm Sandy went down in the books as the second costliest Atlantic hurricane on record. The National Climatic Data Center estimated the cost of Sandy at $65 billion, following Hurricane Katrina on the list of costliest disasters ever to hit the United States. The federal government to date has spent more than $14 billion in assistance to New York and New Jersey alone. Many suggested that global warming played a role in the intensity of the cyclone, but researchers were unable to say just how responsible climate change was for the development and track of Sandy. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo obviously had reached a personal tipping point.
We must rethink and redesign for the long term, because extreme weather, as we have learned, is the new normal.
Climatologist Jessica Reynolds with the Northeast Regional Climate Center at Cornell says there really is a new normal.
Now, that doesn't mean that we can expect hurricanes to hit, you know, New York City every year, every couple of years, but we are expecting to see more hurricane seasons becoming, you know, more active and more of these strong hurricanes.
The recovery, relief, and rebuilding efforts in the days, weeks, and months that followed were massive. WAMC joined the relief effort to assist victims of Superstorm Sandy, raising more than $240,000 during a special one-day fund drive last November 8th. New York State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli says Tuesday his office continues to process contracts for infrastructure repairs, debris removal, and beach restorations, even as challenges remain. Dave Lucas, WAMC News.